So our Torah portion this week is the start of a new book, start of the book of Deuteronomy. And in our travels, we the Israelites, have arrived after 40 years on the banks of the Jordan River. It's right over there. We can see it. The other side is the land of Israel. And Moses isn't going to get to go there. So Moses spends pretty much the entirety of the book of Deuteronomy talking to us, telling the Israelites everything that they will need to know, reviewing all of their history of what's happened over the last 40 years, as well as repeating for them most, if not all, of the commandments, all of the laws, all the history, what they're supposed to do when they get there. And remember, the Israelites who are there on the banks of the Jordan River are not the ones who were adults when they went out of Egypt. This is 40 years later, a whole generation. That adult generation has died off in the wilderness. These are their children, so Moses particularly wants to make sure that they know what they need to know when they get there. So there's one particular episode in this parsha that's particularly well, that's not true. There are a lot of episodes that are interesting. But one in particular that I want to focus on with us for tonight. Back in the book of Exodus, you may remember, when Moses was joined in the wilderness. They got out of Egypt, and his father-in-law Jethro comes to join him. And Jethro noticed that Moses is sitting all day adjudicating, judging cases that the people would bring, resolving disputes between one and the other. And Jethro says to Moses, "This is crazy. You can't spend all your time doing this. Find knowledgeable people, find wise people, find important people, appoint them as leaders over the tens and the fifties and the hundreds and the thousands, and then you be the court of last appeal." And Moses sets up this system for them to be judges and appellate judges, and then him, so that he doesn't spend all of his time. Here in Deuteronomy, when Moses is telling the Israelites their history, he repeats a version of that story. He tells it to them again. Actually, interestingly, he leaves out his father-in-law, but that's a study for another time. But he says, "Havu lachem anshei chochmim uvonim viduim." Select people who are wise and understanding and experienced. And those are the ones who he appointed as magistrates for segments of the population. Those are going to be the leaders that he asked each of the tribes to help choose. Choosing leaders seems to be a pretty important topic for us as we come out of these last days of summer and into this next couple of months. We're in the season of choosing our leaders. We've been in the thick of it. Think about what has happened in the last month alone. The Republican National Convention, the selection of a Republican running mate to complete the ticket, the change in the top of the Democratic ticket, and the selection of a running mate for that as well. In just another week, 2 weeks for the Democratic convention as well. Lots to do and lots to be thinking about in terms of leadership. It actually prompts, for me at least, the question, how do we evaluate our leaders? What qualities should we be looking for in our leaders? Moses gives us a few. Right? Leaders should be wise, they should be understanding, they should be experienced. There certainly are others. But wouldn't it be helpful if there was a scorecard, a guideline, a list of Jewish values that we could evaluate our leaders on? Well, guess what? It just so happens that there is one. Can I get a couple of our good volunteers to help and hand these out to folks? We'll pass them around. Hand a few over that way. We should have more than enough that everybody can get one. Have here. See if I kept one for myself. Actually, I'm gonna, while you're doing that, I'm gonna grab an extra battery or two in case it goes dead in the middle. Okay. All right. So I think I'm going to stand for this because I can see you all a little bit better. Can everybody see a list of these? They are also online. And for those of you at home, turn it that way. Of those of you at home, I couldn't get them all to fit on one slide. They'll be on a couple of different slides. But take notes because there's a quiz at the end. Or you think I'm kidding? No. Right. When I have taught leadership for our teens at camp or in religious school or at youth group or wherever, we've done a particular exercise. I've given them this list of midot, of Jewish values and personality traits for leaders, and had them in small groups and in large groups rank and evaluate which five do they think would be the most important. And out of those five, what number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and can they agree as a group? And it's a thought exercise. There's no right answer, obviously. It's more just the opportunity to clarify some values for us in terms of what we think are important. I don't think I'm going to have you do that, but I do want to review and go through what these are. Not intended by any means in any way to you, it is up to you to apply these to your perceptions of potential leaders in however way you want, but rather these are tools and a rubric perhaps for evaluating. So let's do this. There are, actually there are 18 values, isn't that a good number? And just a little bit more than 18 of you, so everybody can have their own. No, I'm just kidding. But let's, will someone we'll start with Deb and we'll go around and you can read one and we'll have just a brief word about what these values are. Go ahead. Common decency, derech eretz. This is the value of being a mensch, right? That's all of those intangible things that you can't quite quantify in any other way fall under derech eretz and being a mensch. Compassion, rachamim. We want leaders to be compassionate, right? To have compassion for others. Marilyn? Nidivut is the Hebrew there for generosity, being generous of spirit as well as other forms of generosity. We'll pass, Dave. A lev tov, someone with a good heart. I am going to ask you which ones you think are important, though, so be reading along for this. We'll follow along. Al. Siyag, oh, go ahead. Ledivarav, right? Guarding, watching after, putting a fence around your speech. What do you think that means? Oh, I like that. Think before you speak. Okay. Not everything that comes into your head has to come back out of your mouth, right? It's a good rule in general, right? But for our leaders, trying to make sure that that may be a piece of it. Skip. Anava, that's a pretty straightforward one about what that means and being humble. Right, we know the story of the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is what leads us to be doing things that aren't so good. The Yetzer Tov is what inclines us towards the good. Okay, Matt. Judging others, yep, go ahead. Lachaf zechut, that's right, inclining towards giving everybody the benefit of the doubt and their merit, right? And looking on the right side, the bright side of things for folks. All right. Go ahead. Tzedek, justice and righteousness, right? That's a pretty good one that we want for our leaders to have. Okay. Ha'ozen, that's right. To be able to listen, actually even Shema is not even just listening, it's hearing. The difference between listening, hearing, both of those combined in, to be able to hear the needs of others as well. All right? Mm-hmm. Loving all creatures, that's respect for everybody and for all of God's creation as well. Okay? Timimut, being of pure heart. Okay. Kavod. Okay. And revering God. Yirat Ha'el. Having reverence. Yirah is not, sometimes it's translated as fear, like fear of God, but it's not fear, it's reverence. The example I like to that was taught is that if you're carrying the family heirloom vase, You're a little bit afraid of it. You're a little bit in awe of it, and you're definitely very careful with it. Right? That's Yirah. So Yirat Ha'el is being having reverence for God. Okay? Erech Apayim, being slow to anger, right? Not jumping right to conclusions or jumping off the handle for that. Emunah, faithfulness and trustworthiness. Wisdom, Chokhmah, and Madam President. Zirizut. Okay. So I'll ask you the question. Again, if it were a class instead of a sermon, I'd put you into smaller groups and ask you, okay, in smaller groups, which ones, which two, which three, which four, which five do you think are the most important? But if we were compiling a top five list, which one would you like to speak to? And online, if you want to put something in the chat as well, which one, if there's one of these that you want to make sure gets on our top five list, what would it be? And why do you think it's an important characteristic for a leader? Sha. Okay, why is that important? Okay, good. Okay, being able to hear, to listen to others, and recognizing you may not have all the knowledge to be able to make a good decision. Okay. What else for leaders? Why do you think that's a good one? Good. And we want them to be guided by that sense of righteousness. Okay. So. Right. So a lev tov, just for at home to be able to hear, Sue said that a lev tov, a good heart, can encompass several of the other ones about being a good person and being compassionate. That lev tov kind of will cover this. That's often one that the kids will put together because they can combine several of those. Other ones that you would want to have on your top five list for a leader, the things that you want. Wisdom. So tell me, what's the difference between for you between wisdom and knowledge, or wisdom and understanding? I like learning the hard way the right things to do. It's experiential then, right? That it's gained by doing, that you have the wisdom to understand things. Okay. Cool. Others? Folks feel strongly about that they would definitely want to have a leader possess. Say more about that, Suzanne. Yeah, between wisdom and knowledge, and wisdom and understanding. So knowledge, you're right, you may have a lot of book knowledge, or you may have a lot of things that you know, but wisdom is how you process that to make decisions. Is that accurate of what you're reflective of what you're saying? Right? It's discernment is another word we might use there. How to process and make the decision. Applied knowledge, very good. That's right. That's how you take the knowledge and use it in real world. Situations. Yeah, Frank. So what you don't have is the second side that had all of the 20 other ones that didn't make the cut. But truthfulness, right? So where did folks find truthfulness? In trustworthiness. Okay, that you can trust people to be truthful in what they're saying. These are not hard and fast separate categories. A lot of them obviously overlap, and we want folks to have the characteristics of that. Anything else that we want that would you would add in for that? Yeah. Humility. Right, right. It's not about you, it's about the folks you are representing or leading and being humble enough to be able to do that. Actually, humility in knowing you don't know everything or that you don't have all of the information or the right answers necessarily for that. Sometimes can do that, that's true. Right. Michelle, will you? A good skill for a leader to have. Being willing to listen to folks around you and surrounding yourself with other people who may have different opinions. Or it was Abraham Lincoln, right, who had the cabinet of rivals, right? Of everybody else who would run against him, he included in to get that variety of perspectives as well. I'm looking to see folks online. Peggy Craighill voted for trustworthy, that's a clearly an important characteristic. And Risa and Deb said wisdom, being able to understand where we have been, where we need to go. And Don Simon said that common decency. As a leader, you have to be a role model to ensure goodness among those who are following as you are leading. Right? So the short answer, of course, is yes. Reading which one of this is the most important? Yes, right? Obviously, there's no ideal leader. There's no one of us who at any given moment fulfills all of these, right? I was gonna say, Madam President, former president, presidents and former presidents of congregations accepted, right? But there was a notion a bunch of years ago about being in an American election, being a values voter, right? That was a buzzword for a time among the pollsters. If you remember, I'm going to go to the polls and I vote my values. Now, values voters at that time was a particular segment of the population that they were tracking, usually from one side or another side, and religious and such and that. I think we all should be values voters, whether it's this list, which you're welcome to take home, or I have it electronically, or you can send it to you all, right? But we should all be finding leaders and folks to be in charge, right? Based on the values that we think are important, the values they think are important. So potentially a scorecard for us. Zeal can be zealotry, which is a little bit too far sometimes, or zeal as in excitement for a cause, right? Not on your top 10 list. That being, right, there's a reason that being a zealot, that's right, it comes from that root. Well, friends, when we select leaders for our community, let us keep in mind the values that we'd like to see them embody. Let us choose accordingly. We hope and pray we will choose wisely. Shabbat Shalom.